In last class, we started this thought on what is vritti vyapti and what is phala vyapti. Vyapti means to pervade, to envelop, to encompass. And vritti is the modification. Vritti is objectification of something. So when a thought moves out, falls on the object, and it objectifies the object, that is what we call as vritti vyapti. But the very moment that an objectification happens, the light of consciousness, our reflected consciousness, using the light of chit, is able to bring forth for us to recognize what that object is. And that in Vedanta is what we call as phala vyapti. So what is vritti vyapti? What is phala vyapti? In a simple terms, it is nana chidra ghata udara sthita mahadeepa prabhavasvaram. That is what it is. Like how the lamp which is placed in the belly, in that center of a pot, but the pot is decorative, so it has different shapes of holes, and many holes are there. So that lamp which is placed in there, it is able to go and throw its light all across the room. And when it throws the light all across the room, we have the recognition of other objects. In that similar way, jnanam yasya, whose knowledge is like that lamp. And that knowledge, chakshuradikarana dvara, by the senses, chakshu, all the five organs of perception. Chakshuradikarana dvara, bahihi, it goes out. Bahihi spandate, it just illumines everything that is external. So what is illumining external? The light which is within us, which is the chit. But that chit is reflected as chidabhas, the reflected consciousness. And that reflected consciousness is staying in this pot. This is the body that is considered as the pot. And through this pot, the many holes that are there in this body, which is our senses. So through them goes out and gives us the picture of the world. This is how the world is recognized. Now, why is this important that we discuss about this idea? Well, the point is, if we say the entire thing, the entire creation is pervaded by Atma, which is Satatmaka, like how it was mentioned in Shloka number 3. It is Sat Atmakam, meaning it is a nature of existence. But it is also Spuranam. It inherently has consciousness and existence in it. Then the question comes in our mind is, if it has existence, consciousness within it, why do we require senses to illuminate? Why can't they shine on their own? We are saying that my senses, when they fall on the object, that's when the objects get illumined. Why can't they shine on their own? And the reason we gave was they cannot shine on their own because they're born from tamas. When the creation process happened, they were born from the tamasic aspect. The material object of the world was born from tamasic aspect. Therefore, they have ignorance inherent in them, which doesn't allow them to shine on their own. But when the light of consciousness falls on them, they shine at all times. Now you think about it from the perspective of just our thoughts. We don't even have to go outside. We don't even have to see the world of objects outside. Our thoughts itself, why are we able to recognize that I had a certain type of thought? Whatever thought we had today, that thought I had, when I had that thought, it was because that thought was illumined by the light of consciousness. So under that light, I was able to recognize my thought. So what is a thought? Thought is nothing but the object, the material world. Thought doesn't have the ability to shine on its own. They do not have the ability to shine on their own. It requires the light of consciousness. Then alone they can shine. But that is what we feel at all times, that I recognize my thoughts at all times. So when I say my thoughts, again, what I'm saying is that that light of consciousness is able to see the thought movements. Now this helps with recognizing the world of objects. But what about recognizing our own self? What happens there? So that is the next part where Adi Shankaracharya says, Janami tam eva bhantam anubhati. Tam, that light of consciousness, eva bhantam, alone shines. So that light of consciousness alone is shining. Tameva bhantam anubhati. Everywhere it shines. And etat samastam jagat. So this entire world is shining under the light of this consciousness. And one who knows that this, that which is shining, is this Atma alone. The objects are not shining, it is the Atma alone that is shining. So this sadhana is where one is able to see one's own self without the need of chidabhasa. Right? So again, we go back to that idea of vritti vyapti phala vyapti. So when we say vritti vyapti, vritti here is in the sadhana that we're talking about of recognizing the self. The vritti is our mind must cultivate a thought of I am Brahman through Shravan, through Manan, through Nididhyasan. Our mind builds this capacity to now recognize that I am this Brahman. So it envelops a thought to somewhat limit Brahman in that thought. Because when we say thought, thought is a limitation. But this is not limiting Brahman, it limits Sakshi, who without the limitation is Brahman. So to that Sakshi, this thought is enveloped. So I introduced a new idea here. Sadhana is what we're talking about. That I understand that it illumines, this light of consciousness is illumining the world outside. But how can I recognize this light of consciousness? With what can I recognize this light of consciousness? And the answer to that is that I cannot recognize the light of consciousness with any other light. It is not possible to recognize this light with any other light. The only thing that is possible is to break the avarana, to break that covering which is making me think that it is hidden. So all we are then doing is we are trying to light up that avarana. So when we light up that avarana, is what we are saying is we are using the Brahmakara vritti, Aham Brahmasmi thought, we are using that thought to focus on the Sakshitva, to focus on I am the witness alone. There is none other than me. Though I may be chopping vegetables, though I may be eating vegetables, though I am happy as I am eating vegetables, or though I am sad am I as I am eating vegetables, whatever the emotions we are feeling. But the idea is that as I go through that, I am witnessing that I am not the action that is happening, I am the light which is able to illumine that action. So this is the idea of cultivating the thought of Aham Brahmasmi. And in every single thought, first presence is given to this Brahman, the Sakshi, and then the world is brought in light. So as one continues to develop this Aham Brahmasmi thought or Brahmakara vritti, then that vritti removes the veiling from Brahman. It removes that veiling that I was limiting Sakshi to be. I was limiting that Sakshi is only limited to this body who is able to witness the thoughts of this body. That is what I was limiting it by. Now I break that limitation and I say that this Atma is all pervasive. That doesn't mean that the Atma will know others' thoughts. It only means that this is the same Atma that is present everywhere. So I broke the wall which was limiting the nature of Sakshi. The moment I break the wall, the light of the consciousness, which it is, it shines on its own. It does not require anything else to make it shine. And then I get the feeling is, Aham Jana, I know. That is why we have this chanting, right? Natatra Suryo Bhati Nachanda Tarakam. So there, Natatra, Natatra Suryo, Suryaha, sun, shine. So sun cannot shine there. then natatra suryo bhati na chandra na tarakam, not the moon, not the stars. So sun, which is so bright, cannot shine there. Moon, stars also cannot shine there. Then what about this deepa? Right? So natatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam na ima vidyutaha bhanti. So even the lamp cannot shine there. So where is there? There is this consciousness. There is this Brahman. So where this thought of Brahman or Atman is, not a thought, actually where this Brahman itself is, there nothing can shine. And what is the final thought there? Tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam. That's how the whole shloka goes, right? Natatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam meva vidyuto bhanti kutoyam agnihi tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam tasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhati. Under this consciousness light, everything else shines. So that quotation to remind us of is what Adi Shankaracharya ji placed it here. Said, Janami tameva bhantam anubhati. Tameva bhantam anubhati. That this light of consciousness shines on its own. That lamp which is there in the pot cannot illumine this. Likewise, the chidabhasa, the light of the reflection, reflected consciousness staying within us, can never illumine the Brahman I am, that Atman I am, can never reveal. But what that chidabhasa can do is it can cultivate the thought of I am the witness, I am that Brahman. And by cultivating that thought, it destroys the avarana, destroys the ignorance, and then self shines on its own. This is the idea of shloka number 4. So today, then we go to shloka number 5. Now, those who come to know this are very fortunate that I am that light of consciousness. But what about those who cannot? There are many such people. So to explain these other philosophies that are deprived of this thought, these other people who have not followed this Vedantic thought process, they're at a loss. And only with the grace of yours, Bhagwan, Dakshinamurti, they can attain this. So that is the explanation in the next slide. Let us chant first, then we go to the meaning. Deham pranam apindriyanyapi chalam. Buddhim cha shunyam viduhu. Stribalandha jadopamastvamaham. Iti pranta brusham vadinaham. माया शक्ति विलास कल्पित महाम। व्यामोह संहारिणे तस्मै श्री गुरुमूर्तये नम इदं श्री दक्षिणामूर्तये। देहं प्राणमपीन्द्रियाण्यपि चलां बुद्धिं च शून्यं विदुः स्त्रीबालान्धजडोपमास्त्वमहम् इति भ्रांता भृशं वादिनः। मायाशक्ति विलास कल्पित महाव्यामोह संहारिणे तस्मै श्री गुरुमूर्तये नम इदं श्री दक्षिणामूर्तये। सो वन थिंग दैट आई फॉरगॉट इन लास्ट श्लोक, तस्मै श्री गुरुमूर्तये नम इदं श्री दक्षिणामूर्तये। सो हु इज द प्रोस्ट्रेशन टू इन दैट श्लोक नंबर 4 इज प्रोस्ट्रेशन टू माय गुरु, whoever that guru is, who is also Lord Dakshinamurti alone, who knows this truth, Janami, who knows this truth that I am that self, that consciousness which shines everywhere. This is the crux of that thought. Likewise, here now, Deha, Prana, actually, you see here in the second line, after Stri Bala Andha Jada Upamas to Aham Iti, Aham, that Aham you have to take and attach it to all the first thing that are all the things that are mentioned in that first line. So Deham Aham Iti, Pranam Ahamiti, Indriyani Ahamiti, Chalam Ahamiti, Buddhim Ahamiti, Shunyam Ahamiti, like that. And the verb here is Viduhu. Viduhu, one who knows. One who knows that body I am. And who are these people who know it this way? Bhranta Bhrisham Vadinaha. Vadinaha, these are the different schools of thought. That is what is meant by Vadinaha. Vada means that different philosophy. But what are these philosophies? The Bhranta. Delusion, filled with delusion. And what kind of delusion? Bhrisham Bhranta. Adjective also he gives, Bhrisham. Bhrisham means firmly deluded, very deluded. To say deluded itself is an insult. But then to say very deluded, totally deluded, Gurudev calls them madmen. These are madmen. So their philosophy is like that, where they've not reached the height of their thinking. And that's why they are stuck. They're not able to see the ultimate truth. And by mentioning them, Adi Shankaracharya ji is trying to refute that your philosophy is not complete. We accept all philosophies. That's why in Eastern culture, we'll see there are 6 major philosophies. If I have not read the book, but I want to. There's a book called Indian Philosophy, written by our first president of India.
Dr. Radha Krishna.
Radha Krishna. So he has written, and he expounds on these different philosophies that are there. Anyways, there are other books also that do talk about six philosophies. But the point is, our Indian culture does not reject these philosophies. We accept all, but we say that they've not gone farther in their thinking. They've stopped at certain level and they've accepted that is the final truth. They've not inquired more. And Gurudev says the reason why is, it's not that they're not smart people. They were all smart people. They were all scholars. But they were distracted. Either they were distracted by materialistic goals, or they were just content with smaller happiness that they never reached farther. So each one of these philosophy, Adi Shankaracharya takes up and refutes. He doesn't go and refute an elaboration. That is the part taken by Sureshwaracharya when he writes the Vartika on this Dakshinamurti, that Manasollasa. Is where Sureshwaracharya, he talks about this idea. So by saying deham aham iti, whoever say like this, that body I am, they are bhusham bhranta, extremely deluded. Viduhu, know them to be that way. Why are they deluded like that? So let's try and see what these other philosophies have in their core and how Vedanta refutes them. Because when we know these philosophies, it actually helps us in our mananam. It helps us increase our conviction as to why I am not this. So first is deham aham iti. So who believes this is, they're called Dehatmavadi. Deha Atma Padi. So those who believe body is the self. That's the definition of self. We know that story about Indra and Virochan, who goes to Brahmaji for Jnana. And Brahmaji tells them, okay, you want to know who is the self? Look in this reflection. What do you see? And both said, we see the body. And then Brahmaji says, that is the Atma. And both leave from there. Virochan, he's from the Asura. So he's the Asura king. He goes and he says, body is the Atma. Let us all enjoy. Indra comes back and he says, that cannot be true. He comes back and he has questions. But Virochan follows this philosophy. His body alone is truth. And this is a time we're talking about, that 400, 500, AD, BC, I don't know. So Adi Shankaracharya's time, when these philosophies were very prominent, people had written books over it, people had followers of this philosophies. So they were also called as Charvaka. Charvaka or Charuvaka. Charu means very pleasing. They tell their thoughts in very pleasing way. Anybody who listens to it, they get easily suckered into. like that they speak. But in their philosophy, there is nothing but materialist thoughts. They believe that body is the self, so that which I can perceive, that alone is the truth. That which I cannot perceive is not the truth. This is their philosophy. And because of this philosophy, now obviously there's refutation for it. And we will see the refutation the Vedanta gives. But their belief makes them see only four elements. They say that there are only four elements in this world because they cannot perceive space. You can perceive air, fire, water, earth. You can easily perceive them. You can't perceive space. So they say there's no such element as space. They don't believe in it. And another thought they have in there is, we have heard many times, right? Yavat jivet, sukham jivet. You have heard of this many times. Our Swamiji, Swami Sharananandji says this, quotes this many times also. Yavat jivet, sukham jivet, runam krutva, gritam pivet. Bhasmi bhutasya dehasya, kutaha agamanam naha. So, till we live in enjoyment, eat, drink, and be merry. That is the philosophy. To these philosophy, or to this thought of Dehatmavad, our question is, or our refutation to this thought is, we say that body is Atma. Which body is Atma? Because the body changed. Are you speaking about the body which was at youth? Are you speaking about the body which is at the present? Are you speaking about the body which will be old? Which body is the self? Because body changes, so which body? Then there another thought is their concept of moksha. The concept of moksha is death. Once the body dies, meaning once they die, they've attained moksha. So purushartha is to enjoy in this life. That is their purushartha, to enjoy in life, to not worry about anything. Even if it means that I have to take on debt to enjoy, I enjoy. So then to that, our question is, if body, death of the body is the moksha, then who is the moksha for? To whom is this moksha for? Because once the body, once the person dies, body is either cremated, or if somebody has a wish, it gets buried. So body turns into ash or turns into the soil. So for whom was the moksha? Because body didn't get anything out of it. So the philosophy is lacking depth. It's a very shallow philosophy. And another thing we said is that purushartha is to eat, drink, be merry. That is the way to live life. Then another question comes to that is, to be, eat, drink, and be merry, that is the purushartha, that doesn't give happiness all the time to the body. In purushartha, it should give us joy, right? It should give us strength. You continuously keep eating. What will happen? The body is going to become weak. body is going to have issues, and it's going to cause sorrow to us, pain to us. So how can Purusharta lead to sorrow? But Purusharta is supposed to lead to our sukha. So this philosophy is lacking. We say that the philosophy is lacking, but we should not think that, you know, that is to those charva. Sometimes we also believe like this. For the enjoyment of our body, we will shy out of certain things. We will say this. I just came upstairs. I, you know, did all this work downstairs. I don't want to go downstairs. I'm happy in my bedroom or wherever I am. I don't want to go. Like that, be lazy. Now something, somebody may have come at the door knocking. You'll not go downstairs because now you're wanting to relax. Let them just knock and go away. I will handle them later. Something like that were to happen. But the point is, there are instances where we listen more to our body than to others, to our senses, to our mind, to our knowledge. We don't listen to that because that comfort is what we are going at. This we have to remind ourselves of that. How can the body be me? So why should I only think about the comfort of the body? This is our sadhana. This is how we learn to come out of this vada, our thinking like that. Okay. Then the second philosophy. Now here the next one mentioned is prana. But prana is little subtler than indriya. So first, the grossest is deha. The less grosser or little subtler than body is indriyas. So indriya aham iti. So there are those who believe that indriya is me. Senses is my nature. These are also charvakas. And another thing about charvaka is they do not believe in authenticity and authority of the scriptures. They will never follow any of the Vedic scriptures. So that is why we call them as Nastika Darshana. Now these Indriya Atmavadi, they believe in the five senses, because now they've gone a little bit subtler. So there now for them, all five senses exist. And they say indriyas are more lasting than the body, because when a person is alive, senses are working. When the person is dead, senses are not there. So they go to this, they go to one depth into this philosophy that, no, we accept that body is there, but body is not ultimate. The senses are ultimate. Senses actually tell what the body needs to do. If I am thirsty, the senses will tell the hands to reach out, pick up a glass, and drink water. So the senses are guiding. So eyes is my nature. knows is my nature. And like that, all falsehoods. This is how their philosophy works. Now, to these people, then we ask this question. You say senses is the nature. What happens if your senses become weak? Do you find yourself to be weak? As one ages, glasses come about. At that time, do you now feel that you are weak? Or if you had no vision, if you could not see at all, does that mean that the self does not exist? Does that mean that you don't exist because you have no vision? That is point number one. Another point that we can use to refute their philosophy is, which sense are you speaking about? Is yourself. Because when you say sense is my nature, there are five senses. If you say you have the eyes, then what about the other four senses? What if you say, if their counter argument is, no, we take sum of all five. That is my nature. If you say sum of all five senses is the nature, and again, that problem arises is that it is made of parts. If one is not functioning, does that mean the whole self falls apart? No, we still know that the other senses are functioning. I'm still functioning. So by one sense, sensory perceptions not working doesn't make me lose myself. I still feel I am the self. Therefore, this philosophy has problems. Now, who is these Indriyatmavadis? They revel in their senses, meaning those who revel in the pleasure that is driven by the senses. When the senses, they go and contact the sense object, and the pleasure that is driven from that is what gives them the joy. So, late night TV, that is giving them a great sense of joy. Body is tired, they will not care. But I need to watch. And then when the sun rises, okay, time to go to sleep. This used to be the school and college life. But what is it that we are doing? We are living a life of sense indulgence. And in that life, we can question this one. Which is more superior? Can Indriyas be superior? Because we already talked about this point. Another point is that Indriyas, they cannot function on their own. Meaning, if the mind is not there, how can Indriyas come to know what they have perceived? So to give so much importance to these senses and the pleasure they derive from their contact with the sense object is not correct. We should not do that. And another thought, one more point that is when we look at our senses, we say what? My eyes, my ears, my nose. My, anytime we say, has to be different from I. So when I say that I am seeing something, there when we say I am seeing something, our belief is not that the eyes itself is seeing something. There our understanding is eyes are an instrument through which I, who is separate from the eyes, saw something. So there our inherent feeling is different. It is not there that we say that I am the eye which saw this. I am the self, or I am the jiva, through my eyes saw something. How can you say that that is the truth? That is the self, that is the ultimate truth. Cannot. That is the weakness in this philosophy. So, indriya, atma. Okay. Shall I continue or should we pause? One more I can take? There's time, so let's take one more. Okay, so a little more subtler than that is our pranas. Now these who are believing in the pranas, they have belief in scriptures. They're also called as Hiranyagarbha Upasaka. So doing a lot of pranayam, upasana to attain the higher lokas. This is their practices, their endeavors in life. But they say, forget about senses, forget about the body. Body is only alive because the prana is there in the body. If the prana is not there in the body, body is not there. Also, senses can function only when prana is there. And even when the senses are not functioning, pranas are functioning. That is true. When we go to sleep, our senses are not functioning. Somebody could be playing a loud radio. We are sleeping. If you can sleep like that, you have the greatest blessing. But at that time, you don't hear anything. But you go closer to that person, you'll see that breathing. So prana is functioning, but indriyas do not function. So therefore, they say prana is the body. Oh, sorry, not the body. Prana is the self. No? For them, the refutation here is, if you say prana is the self, one simple idea. When you went to deep sleep, somebody came and stole the items from you, and you said prana was awake. Did the prana catch the thief? Why didn't it catch the thief? Okay, it didn't catch the thief. Did it know that the thief actually came and stole? No. So what are pranas doing? For that matter, pranas, they move through our body. Okay? We know that the vital air moves through our body. As it moves through the body, are we able to recognize which part of the body it touched and moved? Okay, right now, when I breathe in and I inhale, I can feel all the nerves in my body that are being touched by the pranas. No, I don't feel that. So the point is, pranas, they don't have knowledge. They cannot know. So that which cannot know, how can you call it as the self? Obviously, that is one point. The second point is, pranas also have modification. They change their functions. Some have different functions and some have different functions. How can different functionality be oneself? So again, this philosophy lacks the depth necessary. So prana cannot be the self. The mana, buddhi, and shunyam. So chalam is to represent mana, buddhi to represent our intellect, and shunyavadi, those who believe in nothing. So there is philosophy like that. Who's the shunyavadi? Buddhist. That is a philosophy that believes in shunyavadi. So now the three remaining philosophy we will see next week. But these other philosophies, they have limitations in them. And because of the limitations, because they have not reached the height of their thinking, they are stuck in this maya. And Dakshinamurti, Bhagavan, you are the one who is the destroyer of this maya. Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namaidam Shri Dakshina. This is the idea of the. So next week we'll see the other three and hopefully we'll conclude the shloka as well. Any thoughts, any questions, any doubts? Neetuji?
Just because it's a recorded session, so I just wanted to clarify that Indian philosophy is written by Dr. Radhakrishnan ji, but he's a second president of India. First is Dr. Rajendra Prasad ji.
Ah, okay, yeah. Good.
I thought because it's a recorded session.
Yes, so. Yes. Thank you for correcting me. Yes.
And I wasn't here last week, but what I was listening to the recorded session and she said Chidabhasa. So Chidabhasa until the last session is kind of a reflected consciousness at an intellectual level. That's a paroksha jnana. So when you experience that it will become an aparoksha anubhuti. That's what we are heading to.
Chidabhas will always stay as Chidabhas. It can never become aparoksha.
Okay.
So that reflected consciousness is what we come to recognize as our mind. Come to recognize as the antahkarana.
Okay.
So mind, intellect, memory, and our chitta.
Ahankara.
So this antakarana will always be like that. As long as this deha is there, as long as this embodiment is there, Chidabhas will be there.
So Chidabhasa is just the name of the reflected consciousness. That's Chidabhasa specifically. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Is that Shuddhaham? That's not Shuddhaham.
That's not Shuddhaham. Chit is yourself. Chidabhas is Jiva.
Jiva.
But Jiva, when it cultivates this thought of Aham Brahmasmi, it breaks its limitation that I am Jiva. Then the Chidabhas has become falsified. So it is merely for the sake of transaction that the Chidabhas continues.
Now I understood it pretty well.
So for purpose of transaction, then Chidabhas continues. Mm-hmm. The jiva no longer exists. The mm-hmm. jiva was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
In place of jiva, now Brahman is, or Atman is. So the one, that jiva, that person is who we call as Jivan Mukta. So they only recognize the true nature. Kanchanji, you have
a thought? Chidabhas is nothing but reflection of chit in our mind. And once the mirror is broken, Chidabhas becomes chit. That's it. Abhas goes away. The reflection goes away. The mirror, the mirror you see inside the image goes away. There's no more image. Only you yourself remain. Chit alone remains. Chidabhas disappears. Abhas means reflection. And reflection of chit, it goes away in the mind. The mind merges with God and there's no mind. Then only chit remains.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Chit remains, but for the world, there is still that Chidabhas continues. For the world, the Chidabhas continues because transaction has to happen. Otherwise, if we say that the person, Chidabhas, meaning the Jiva ended, then that is the end of life. That's the only time that Jiva is done. So at that time, what we call is Videha Mukti. So what you described is the Videha Mukti part. But while Jivan Mukti, that Chidabhas is falsified, nullified. It is like that rope which is burnt. So that burnt rope can no longer bind anything, no longer tie anything. But it is there. It is showing the world its teeth.
Yeah, you see the image in the mirror, but you realize that this mirror image is image, not me.
Yes.
Yeah, right? So that the wrong concept that mirror image is me, it disappears and I am remain. So even though you're transacting the world, you're not transacting like an image. It's like you're transacting like yourself, your true self.
Yes. Then let's do the prayer and we end. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dhiranji.
Hari Om, thank you.
Hari Om, thank you.
Thank you, Dhiranji.